Washington for the CFAS meeting?
Coming in the 31st, I think.
All right. Can you let me know what time, because they want to schedule another meeting and we're trying to...
Hello, it's Michelle here.
I'll look it up during this call, and I'll let you know by the end of the call.
All right, because it looks like it's going to have to be Monday night if we want to get everybody there.
I think I get in around 4 o'clock, but I'll double-check it right now.
All right, thanks. All right, Riley's here. Charnas. Bill Barnett.
Yeah, I'm here.
Claire. Okay. Elizabeth, Sal, Ken Jones, Michelle.
I'm here.
You didn't send me my numbers yet. I'm only kidding.
They're right in front of me. I'm just double-checking them.
You're kidding. Suzanne Houston, Tatiana, Dina.
I'm here.
Dina there?
Yep, I'm here.
Wendy?
No, Wendy won't be on.
All right. Hey, anyone I missed? Pardon?
Sarah.
Yeah, I got you, Sarah.
Tell him you're there.
You can hardly...
I'm here.
Pardon?
It's Ken Jones, and I'm here.
Hey, Ken. We didn't expect you.
You didn't expect me?
No, it says you're in clinic.
Oh, no, not today.
All right, so Bill's looking up the time he arrives, so we'll be able to resolve that today, too. But we can start in with the agenda for today. There are still some progress reports outstanding, although I think we've heard from everybody and should expect them shortly. Jill and I will then go through them and collate and put them together and then send out copies to everybody, hopefully so that you'll have 2 weeks prior to the meeting to review them. So if you are one of the people who haven't sent it in yet, please try to... get that in as soon as possible. The second item that I have is, I think on the last call we talked about the World Health Organization meeting that was held in the Netherlands in November that some of us were at. I've received a revised draft of the World Health Protocol that they hope to implement in numerous countries around the world, and they are in fact funding some of the more economically deprived countries. And I am happy to report that they are most likely using the forms that were generated by the Dysmorphology Corps, a revised behavioral protocol from the behavioral project, and so I'm very pleased about that. The one thing we could not convince them to do was to fully utilize the CFAS diagnostic dysmorphology criteria, and rather they're going to use kind of a mix between the Canadian guidelines and the CFAS guidelines. So,
what are they using for assessing the drinking?
They have several measures. One I remember is the audit, and I have the whole report. I mean, it's a draft for comments in my briefcase somewhere. But I believe it was the audit. And Tina, do you remember?
I don't remember.
Let's see. Well, I don't have it handy, so.
Ed, would all the right information be captured, and would it be available to like reanalyze the diagnoses, or is it not going to be accessible?
No, it's going to be. You mean using the different criteria?
Yeah, could you apply different criteria?
It's just a matter of, I think the Canadian guidelines use the third centile for papilleal fissures, and Ken uses the 10th. I think I have that right. Ken, any comment?
He just left.
He left. All right.
Just to get more pretzels.
More pretzels? I didn't have any pretzels. All right. But it should be able to be looked at in numerous ways.
Okay. So this is Bill Barnett. Does that mean they're going to be using the data standards that we have put out? Because that would certainly make that process a lot easier.
They are going to – it looks like they're going to use the forms that Ken has for the dysmorphology. I think there's some debate. And when Ken comes back from his pretzel break, right now they have using the CDC growth charts. And I think that could be problematic in different countries.
WHO has adopted those, though, Ed.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what they're
going to
But I think there's got to – nothing in the document speaks to whether or not this kid comes from northern Russia or whether he comes from – the middle of sub-Saharan Africa.
But as long as they have the absolute values collected on any of these measures, it meets the criteria of what Dale's asking, that is, can you apply the CDC and Canadian guidelines? And the only thing you can't do is replicate a few of the 4D system criteria with some of this raw data, but that's
not going to bother you, is it?
Not going to bother me a damn bit, but
I don't think so. And John, the maternal drinking.
Yeah.
There's going to be a standard, but and it looks like it's the audit, but then they're also doing meconium. On a subsample of 500 people in each country as one measure.
Oh, so let me ask a more general question then, because I was under the impression you were describing implementation of some clinical protocols, and this is a study, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the audit that they're using.
Okay, thank you.
All right. But, I think we were convincing enough at the first meeting for them to rely heavily on the systems that we're using here, modifying some of them given the nature that they cannot do a tremendous amount in some of these countries because of budgetary constraints.
Right, but John's question is really important, though. The maternal data really needs to be more than just one audit. It needs to be some information by quantity, frequency, and variability at any points of the pregnancy that you can get.
I'll read you what they say here in that section, and then you, I can, I'm happy to let them. All right, so they're doing meconium in a subsample, and data from women over 18 years of age are collected at any stage of pregnancy from first trimester to time of delivery, and they're all invited to participate. Those who consent will be administered the audit in order to determine if the woman's currently drinking, has drunk, had a problem drinking, has drunk at a problem drinking level while pregnant. And the questionnaire is divided. Then there's another questionnaire that's divided into sections about consumption dependence and alcohol-related problems. And then it directs me to Appendix J. So this is not the shortest document in the world. So.
No, you don't have to read it all to us, but just keep in mind that the quantity and frequency and the timing are just all
yeah, it looks like they're
important. And we're not doing a great job with that in the CFAS right now.
It looks like, and they have a timeline follow back. I don't know. I think Tina had some input into some of this, so I'm assuming it'll be reasonable. All right, but I think it was good to see that they thought that some of our stuff anyway was reasonable enough to include in this larger study that they have going on. And, all righty. Now, also, the administrative core applied for a supplement to assist an FASD project in South Korea, in Seoul, with two investigators, Haekook Lee and So Hee Lee. And they have some money as well from the Korean CDC. It looks like right now it's just sitting in, it's stuck in grants management, but we're hopeful that it will be approved shortly. And so we will have additional capabilities in Seoul, South Korea. So that's one other thing that the admin core has done. And then I found out this morning that I'm hooking on to another trip. We'll be going back to Poland, and they are going to be also instituting some of the CFAS methodology in a project that the Polish government's funding, but they've asked us for some assistance in training people, and for we're going to provide some neuropsychological assessment instruments for them. The other thing is that the RSA abstracts are due on Monday, I guess, and if you are submitting something, if you could please email Jill a copy. In fact, if you're submitting anywhere and submitting abstracts, if you could always email Jill a copy, that would make it easier for us to keep up to date on what people have going on. So that's basically our report from this end. And Jill, did I forget anything?
Just a reminder that the meeting's coming up, obviously, at the end of the month and into the first of the month, and we're working on the agenda right now, so we'll send a draft of that out shortly. And everyone's got their files, so we should be all good there.
So we have agendas, and right now I am still waiting to hear back from Kathy Spong about whether she'll be attending, but she'll probably be at the basic science meeting. Bill Pfeiffer will be at the clinical meeting, and he's the one who's doing the infant assessments in the PAST project. And I was wondering if there was any interest in having Jim Mills come, who has the FASD project in Brazil or Chile.
Yes.
Tina?
Yes, I think it would be great.
All right. Anyone have any other comments about inviting him?
Just to say, it's Michael Charnas, and I have no objections, and I'm on. Hi.
Hi, Michael.
I am too, sorry.
Hi, Tatiana. All right, so as Jill said, we have the basic science agenda basically finished, and the joint meeting is almost done. It'll be similar to the joint meeting last year, where people hopefully will get up and present brief PowerPoint, 10-minute maximum presentations to the whole group, so that the clinical people can find out what the basic science people are doing and vice versa. We're also on that day going to have an update on the PAST project with Hannah Kinney, and some discussion hopefully from Andy Hull on ultrasound, and maybe Claire Coles on the infant assessments in Ukraine, since that's those are two areas that the PASS project is interested in. We'll finish up the agendas probably on Monday, and then we'll send them out to you as drafts, and you can make comments and go. Okay, let's go and see what's happened during the last month. I think Jill sent everybody out the Google documents in terms of a progress report. And, you know, some sites are doing better than others, but it looks like things are moving along for the most part. So you want to go through the individual projects? Tatiana, you want to start with the 3D imaging?
I can. So in the report is the the progress in terms of 3D images. You can see that. I think we're on track in terms of where we are for Los Angeles, Atlanta, and San Diego. The one thing that, you know, you always have to remind you in the Ukraine is that we didn't go back to the Ukraine. The camera that would have gone to Ukraine is actually in South Africa now, and Leah is with it, and so is Mike Suddy, and they will be training the PASS staffs all of next week for collecting images in the infants. And so one thing is, you know, I don't know if it's part of this group. Do you want us to include how we're doing on that? Is it one of our new reports that we do?
It's good by me. I'm assuming that PASS is never going to let us touch the data.
Well, we are going to. We have it so that certainly we're going to be processing and analyzing the 3D. So, I mean, I'm going to include it when I do my report, when we do any reports in the future. So, I'm glad I can just do it as an update, however you guys want to handle it. So that's happening right now. As many of you know, it's about 1,000 infants that would be getting collected at 1 month, and then the same infants again at 12 months. And so that's happening. We also are doing a smaller clinic with Jeff Wozniak, and that's set for the first weekend in April. And actually, I need to ask him now, after talking with Peter Hammond in quite a bit of detail, and this is in the report that we'll be discussing in February. With the new methods he has, it's actually he can now work with much smaller numbers of cases. So he's doing almost, in some cases, single image analysis. But the burden when you do go to that approach is that you have to have a lot of controls. So he and I talked quite a bit about the demographics, the age range, and also the ethnicity of the kids that would be seen in that Wozniak clinic in Minnesota. And I actually think, based on our discussions, that we should try to do a whole day. We wouldn't need Ken, but that we would just try to image normal kids across an age range and across similar ethnicity to the heavy exposed kids that we'll be seeing. That way we don't hurt ourselves in terms of Peter's ability to analyze it. So I haven't talked to Jeff about that. I think he would have access to those kids. It wouldn't put any additional burden on Ken. I've talked to Leah about staying for an extra day, and that's not an issue for her. So I think that's an important thing for us to keep track of. And I'm trying to think. Pardon?
April what? The first weekend in April?
Yeah, I think it's the first weekend in April. It's you want me to pull out? It's that weekend, isn't that? It's not Ken, is it? Is that Ken?
It is Ken. Yeah.
Yeah, we have it all in writing, isn't it? Wasn't that the weekend that we decided on? Do you want me to go pull out my emails?
Mine, because I don't think I have it in my book here.
Oh yeah, remember when we picked the date? I know we did it all by email because the original dates didn't work. So I'll pull out the emails where we settled it, and I will send it back around again.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. And I'm trying to think, what else do I need to tell you? We did our report. Saliva, we worked out all the data sharing, and so I've been in touch with CIDR in terms of what we need to do to get samples over there. So they sent me the paperwork, and I need to start on that now to get the samples. And I think that's what I need to tell you. We've got a symposium we put in for RSA for facial imaging, which a number of people involved with, and we also have some abstracts going in for the deadline on Monday from those people who didn't go on the symposium.
The trip to Minnesota is April 8th through 10th.
That's it. Wow, that was very fast. Thank you. Thank you, Ed. I wasn't even there yet.
Ken, did you hear that?
I did. We're leaving for Ukraine on the 9th.
But Ken, we picked those dates with you.
You'll have to change it.
Change what?
I didn't. You've already committed to those dates, so we're going to have to change that other trip.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have all the emails. I mean, I can... So, yep. All right. So that's April 8th, and I think it's a great idea to get more normals. it's too bad you don't have IRB approval just to go to shopping centers or schools and, you know, set up a camera and ask for volunteers.
Well, the key is you want them to be in a similar age range and ethnicity of the kids you're collecting. And so I think in that particular case, we might have, you know, I mean, I don't disagree with you. And for some of the sites, I think we may want to increase. But we've got a good pool of kids also that are not expensive.
And, Bill, that was something, that was the one thing I forgot to tell you about the administrative core carryover, was this trip to Minnesota.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so Tatiana.
Can I ask you a question? Tatiana, are those kids
of course.
Processing?
I can't hear you. I'm so sorry. Is that Sarah?
Sarah. Are you including neurobehavioral testing?
No.
Okay.
This is just so we could get additional images for the 3D facial analysis. And Peter Hammond is coming to the meeting, so along with, is it Mike?
Mike Suddy,
Yeah.
He's the one who went to South Africa with Leah.
They'll both be there, and hopefully we can get a report. And Dale, I hope that you can assist us, because unless things have changed in the past project, they tend to be very conservative with who gets access to any of their data.
I can share. I mean, I can share with you. We had to do that all in our protocol. I can send that to you, Ed. What we have written down.
All right.
You want me to send it to you?
Sarah, can you speak up real loud because it's real hard to hear you?
Sure.
Do you have any updates on the neurobehavioral?
Is that better?
Oh,
yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I just shook you off speaker. Let's see, you can see, I don't have the charts in front of me that Jill sent, but you can see the numbers of the kids that have been tested. We did have a big push for data uploading in the last month, so there's, I think, quite a bit more data. I'm assuming the numbers are reflected in the ones that Michelle sent, because I got them from my progress report. So there's been a big increase in data uploading. The issue is that those numbers don't necessarily reflect complete cases. They just reflect cases that are present, which is a very good first step, but we still need to work on getting complete cases. And we're working with Andy Aronson. I don't know if he's on the call, but we're working with him in this missing data report, which I think will be ready for a first review in the next 2 weeks, I think, a week to 2 weeks. Which I think will be a big help. Our plan is to provide the information to the sites where there's, you know, big gaps or where there are missing data points, and then it'll become part of the regular reporting in terms of what needs to be completed. The one thing that might be useful, especially to Tatiana, although I think it might be a little late, on the dashboard of the central repository, there's now a list of all the grouping variables for all the neurobehavioral subjects.
Ooh.
I'm happy to talk to you about that, I think it's of use to the whole project, but I know in particular.
We would love it.
Just go down to the bottom of the dashboard, and it says STEM group class reporting or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a live. This is one of my favorite things, I think, that the Informatics Corps has done. You click on it, and it brings up a chart, and go to all the way to the right, and that's the variable that you need to use.
Fantastic.
In terms of the demographics, I noticed that Los Angeles, and if we could get data in from Los Angeles and South Africa, we'd be doing really pretty good.
Yeah, we are, actually. I was really pleased with the numbers from the uploads, although, again, only partial data, and that's why this next step that we're working on with Andy is going to be critical, because you'll go in to analyze data, and that particular measure is not there. So the reports that we're getting now in terms of numbers that are uploaded just mean that some data is present for that subject. It doesn't mean that the data are complete.
I understand that, but if you could assist in getting those two sites to, I mean, everyone else.
South Africa? I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember what South Africa's number. I thought that theirs was actually reasonably good.
They're about half in.
Oh, okay. I know that UCLA is very far behind in their demographics, and I did get an email from Suzanne yesterday or the day before saying that they're working on it. So hopefully,
if you can pursue that, and you know, rather than have, you know, just to keep on them to get it in, because
I will.
They haven't put it in months.
Yeah, I agree. We're working on abstracts for RSA, and we weren't able to use any UCLA data for that very reason, because we're missing, you know, that critical information. So,
Sarah, what did Suzanne tell you when she talked to you?
She said, I don't have it in front of me. The gist of it was that they were working on it. She and is it Sophia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that they're working on it.
Okay. All right. We're going to run out of time if we keep going. So I know Sarah has several abstracts that are going in.
Yeah, we have 3 abstracts, so I apologize, but they'll be coming to you today through Sunday, you know, for review to various people, and I really appreciate your input.
All right.
Ed?
Yes, Dr. Jones, I'm going to call on you right now.
Okay. Well, before you call on me, I'd just like to say I think that this April meeting in Minnesota is the 8th and 9th. Is that true?
That's correct.
Not the 10th, right?
It's just 2 days. Mm-hmm. The 10th will be the day that Leah would now stay.
Okay. Well, that may be the day when I leave for Ukraine, so that's good.
Well, wouldn't Ken need to see the controls, too?
If you fly Northwest, Ken, you'll be part of the way there.
Right.
We would normally, but just given that I had promised him only 2 days, but I really want them, I'm going to do it without him.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Jones, any news on the dysmorphology?
No news.
No news? Any?
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
And who's inputting the dysmorphology data now?
What's Reedy's last name?
Well, we have a new data manager since Leela Pruitt left the consortium.
Please do not mention her name.
I know. So that's the last time it'll be mentioned. And her name is Smriti Rao, Smriti Rao is the last. And she has been oriented on the databases, including the dysmorphology one, and she is the person to whom they should go. So they should come to this office here.
We sent a bunch to Leela.
Yeah, I know. I talked to Wendy about it the day before yesterday, and they should all be here. I just don't know what the status of them is in terms of having been entered into the dysmorphology database.
Well, we sent them to Leela in Oregon, didn't we?
Yes, but she returned everything that she had there.
Okay, good.
All righty, so... Ken, I think you were getting some pretzels, but this World Health Organization?
Yeah.
That they're going to use some of your stuff. And I guess the big question is the papyral fissure size is the big discrepancy. And I think that's just a matter of charting rather than a real difference in what you think is a small papyral fissure.
Ed, what do you mean?
Well, they use the Hall chart, and you use that other one, or vice versa.
Yeah, we actually have this in our report as well that we have.
And the measurements are so different that the third and the tenth come out to about the same, if not the third even being larger than the tenth in yours.
He's talking. What Ed is talking about is the WHO is setting up a standard for countries that are going to participate in their collaborative study for doing the diagnosis, and they are proposing to use criteria that would use the Canadian standard of palpebral fissure length less than the third percentile instead of less than the tenth.
But it looks like they have your eye chart. Which will make for a very, very small papyral fissure.
Right.
So I can talk to you about this some other time, but it's going to be an issue. And I would like to see them adopt your techniques. So I will put together an email and I'll send it to you for your comments, all right? If that works for you.
Yep.
All right, Tina, how are things going in the Ukraine?
Good. We're just doing bunches of data analysis, and we've got two abstracts and maybe three that we're submitting on Monday.
Okay, and I hear Carl's back up and running a little bit.
I heard he sent liver tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, and do you know, Claire's not on, because Claire's brother-in-law passed away last night, but,
no.
Yeah, do you know if she is submitting anything on the neonates or infants from the Ukraine RSA?
Yeah, Julie is for sure. We're supposed to talk here. I'm talking with Julie right after this call ends, and Carl.
Okay. And would you tell Julie, and maybe Julie would want to go to the CFAS meeting, is that because Bill Pfeiffer is going to be there on Wednesday?
Yeah.
I think it would be a good time for them to compare techniques and data.
Right. And Andy's, that we just finished analyzing the biophysical profile and startle response stuff, and there's some really interesting stuff there that Julie's going to compare to her heart rate thing. So I'll ask Julie when we get off this call if she's available for the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. Let's see. Elizabeth. And brain imaging.
So everyone's completed their time one. We've started our time two, and I think South Africa was going to start somewhere around this month or next month. San Diego, Sarah, can you talk to that one? Do you have your new software? Can you start time two?
As far as I know, we're ready to start.
Okay. So, and as far as data analysis, Florence just had a paper accepted, and we're very excited. So it was the first multi-site brain imaging combined with dysmorphology and a tiny bit of neurobehavioral. So that's exciting.
Very nice.
What?
It was very nice.
Yes. And we have two other papers, one looking at cortical thickness using the three sites data and dysmorphology and I think IQ. I don't remember if we did that. And then another analysis of the corpus callosum. So I have a postdoctoral fellow working on those, and she's already got big portions of drafts done. So I'm pretty excited. I guess we need to think about ways that we can get other people, like, for example, Sarah, to be able to use some form of the data to answer more complex neurobehavior questions, for example. Because I feel like integrating with the other projects is important, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, that was one of the questions that we asked last January.
We're already integrating with Kent, you know, with dysmorphology.
Yeah. No, I know.
Okay.
But that was one of the five questions that we thought were of a high priority to do.
Uh-huh.
And some of it's getting done. And, I mean, that one paper was very nice.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll have two more soon, hopefully.
I think more coming out like that will be very useful.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Who did I forget? Anybody?
Quick question?
Yeah.
For Elizabeth, you know, I noticed the pace on the second scans, you know, is much quicker than you had for the first scans, and
well,
I was wondering how critical is the time between first and second scan?
Well, I mean, in truth, you know, a range 1 to 2 years is not the end of the world. I mean, I think that empirically nobody really knows how much time between scans is optimal, and if you have too long, are you missing things, or if it's too short, are you not seeing any change over time? We have in other longitudinal study use inter-scan interval as a sort of covariate.
Okay.
So we get annual rates of change. Our little increase there that you see is sort of an artifact because we had scanned kids with prenatal alcohol prior to our being part of the CFAST Meaning,
so this is showing when they're uploaded, not necessarily when they were scanned.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, never mind. That sounds good.
We had this discussion here this morning, too.
Okay.
All right, so I'd like to, Claudia?
Yep.
From your perspective, how are things going?
They're going fine. I don't have anything definite to say because I'm right in the middle of all of the data analysis. But it's going fine.
All right. But so you think Meg is going to be useful? And
sure.
Hopefully you'll have something that looks good by the time Vancouver comes around?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. I'm working hard on that.
All right. And the people who are going to Vancouver, today was the deadline for getting in all of your conflict of interest, PowerPoint slides, registration, hotel things. So if you haven't done that, you probably should take care of it pretty soon.
Did you say they want the actual presentations?
They want the PowerPoint presentations that they use to print into a book.
Or you can send in a summary.
Or you can send in a summary or reference.
Something. Oh. Or something.
It's supposed to be 3 to 5 pages, though. So it's not...
Oh. I've sent them nothing. I mean, I did what I thought I needed to do with the conflict of interest and everything, but I didn't send my, because I've never made a PowerPoint 6 hours before I presented it.
Right. What you need to do is to take the last PowerPoint presentation you sent and send that in as a PDF file to them.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the meeting, say, look, we got some really new stuff, so I apologize. But that one's wrong, or that one's outdated.
I see. So I have to do that over the weekend.
Yeah, and everybody's happy that way. That's what we do. I do all the time.
All right.
Just the last one, and I take out anything that's conflict of interest or copyrighted or things like that. So they don't have a lot in them. All right, Phil?
I don't have anything special.
Nothing special? All right, well, then I think, all right, if everyone takes care of the Vancouver stuff and gets us their RSA abstracts or our teratology abstracts, that would be great. All right, from John?
Yes?
Anything?
I just had that one question. I did have one. A question for Sarah quickly is I was just wondering why the demographics are uploaded faster at San Diego and not the others.
I don't really know how to answer that. We've been trying to get every site to upload the data. I know I don't know if you were on earlier. We just touched on the fact that UCLA is working on it, so they're one of the sites that is behind. But
oh, that's the same issue. Okay.
Right. Other sites are doing okay. It was really this past month was really a big, there was a big increase in uploading of all data. I mean, it could just be the way we do things. We, just our habit. We tend to test a kit, score them, upload them right away, and other sites do them more in bulk.
Well, Sarah, I haven't been following closely enough, but I'm guessing if it was super easy and straightforward, it would be done quickly. Have there been, technical problems, or do you think?
I'm not involved. Michelle or Andy or Bill mentioned that. I know there's been some discussion between Suzanne and informatics, but I don't know the details.
Okay, and NIAAA, words of wisdom.
Never words of wisdom, but I've got a question or two. So coming back to Poland and Korea,
yes,
are there going to be opportunities there to collect more 3D images? I think the stakeholders there would buy in and maybe have people on the ground trained to do those things. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and the initially, there was talk of that, and it was a budgetary constraint that precluded it from being put into the proposal. It's certainly something that we would like to do, but it's the cost of the camera and the fact that they would need it there, you know, kind of on a more permanent basis,
mm-hmm.
that it's, I think, something that we'll have to see how many kids are really there that can be identified,
mm-hmm.
and we think that it'll be a reasonable number. And then hopefully utilize the camera with next year after maybe we have some of these algorithms in place and see whether or not we can really do this by the, you know, telemedicine.
Okay.
I mean, would there be any advantage, Ed, to us coming over and doing some initial collection? Do you think, that we certainly can do. You're right that we're going to have that one camera in South Africa, and that's going to get a lot of use. So I think that one's going to be really valuable there. We do have the one in San Diego, and that actually is also collecting. Then we've got the third one that actually is going to be, you know, traveling around and is also going to be with Tina for her grant. So we sort of have all of them a bit tied up. But if we wanted to go do some pilot collection, if you think it would be valuable, we could do that now.
I don't think they have the staffing to do it.
Okay.
And they are literally going between various sites. It's not like they have a central site that people are coming into. I was going to talk to Peter about less expensive technologies that might be reasonable to use.
Okay.
And not so much in developing the algorithms, seeing if the algorithms apply.
Got it. You going to talk to him before the meeting, or are you going to do it at the meeting?
At the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, he's coming in a day early, and I think I'm getting in a day early, too.
Perfect. Okay.
And Bill?
Well, we're dealing with a couple issues with carryover requests for a couple of you guys, but you know, hopefully we'll have those resolved soon.
Okay. We're all hoping that gets resolved soon. And... and I just got a note from Jill about should she continue the Google Docs, and I think yes. So.
What should I do with goals?
With
the goals were all for the end of this year.
Just keep the goal flat now. See
and then
how
just
long
see
it takes
the progress after
to get
it?
To the goal. Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. Well, any other questions?
I have one.
Yep.
For the dysmorphology, we have kids in both the Plains and New Mexico that we will need dysmorphology help with. And I know Ken's schedule is really tight in the upcoming months. Ken, can we work with you to try to schedule Luther or one of the other docs to come in?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, are you having any case conferences in Albuquerque?
No, we're not having any this year. We have two coming up in South Africa in February and May.
I was thinking that'd be a good time to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, actually we're getting to the point, as we discussed Wednesday, that the dysmorphologist time between the COFASP and the CFASP, we're taking about all the time that they can get away. So we'll have to work with you, Ken, on getting Melanie or Jean or Luther down here. And I'm pretty sure we can't get Jean.
All right. And between the Phil May and the Tina Chambers project and the epidemiology project, is Monday night then reasonable? Could everyone – because that's the only time that everyone will be there.
My flight gets in on the 31st at 4 o'clock to Reagan, so I can be at the hotel by 5:30 at the latest.
Yeah, we're going to end the CFAS basic science meeting at 6.
Okay, good.
So
you know,
for us, our meeting ends at 5, so we can meet with you after any time after that.
So do you have a meeting sometime on Monday?
Yep, it runs from 12 to 5.
Oh, okay. All right, so it'll have to be Monday night then. It's the only time it's going to work. All right, when everyone can be around. So, Michael, is that all right with you?
What time again?
Monday, 6 o'clock.
Oh, once I'm there, my time's.
All right.
Yep.
All righty. All right, so I'll let Marcia know that that's when everyone will be around.
When are you arriving, Dr. Tarnas?
let me just look. Hold on.
Sometimes you take that late flight.
Five. He'll be there.
I'll be there. I don't know if I have my flights. I think I'm does this thing start at 1 or something?
1 o'clock, yeah.
So I'm flying in that morning.
All righty. Any other issues? Everyone's got enough money to do everything and life is good?
Well, do you have money for me?
For you, John, open.
Our pay has been frozen here at NIAAA.
Well, you should move to California.
Why?
No. Hey, but did you hear the comment that he made about whatchamacallit when he was leaving as press secretary, that he made a moderate amount of money? And
I missed it.
The people got very upset that $180,000 a year
was a moderate.
Was called moderate. But the guy in private industry would be making a couple million dollars a year.
Yeah.
So I think he's... All righty. Well, I'm sorry your pay has been frozen. We're no longer on furlough here, I think, in California. I think we're off furlough. All righty. Well, thank you, one and all. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care.
Bye.
Still there?
Yeah.
Oh, John.
The